lies. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And we need to be converted. We need to be changed. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There are folks that are trying to put away old things and have things become new without getting in Christ first. And that won't work. That won't last. That won't endure. So the Bible can convert. We saw that the Bible could convict. We looked at the story in John chapter 8 where the Pharisees brought the woman taken in adultery and brought her before the Lord Jesus. And he stooped down and wrote something on the ground. And I proposed to you last week that I believe he was writing verses from Scripture. We don't know that for sure because the Bible doesn't say it. But he wrote something on the ground. And whether it was Scripture or not, when Jesus was writing it, it became the Word of God. And then he said to them, "Where are thine accusers?" And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." What he spoke was the Word of God. The Bible says that those that came, when he wrote on the ground, they went out one by one being convicted by their own conscience. The Word of God, the spoken Word of God, the written Word of God, convicted them of their sins. And the Bible is able to convict. And the reason a lot of Christians don't read their Bible is because they don't want to be convicted. The reason a lot of folks go to churches today that don't talk about sin, don't talk about hell, don't talk about judgment, don't talk about the second coming, is because they don't want to be convicted. They don't want to be challenged to have to live clean or live better. And so the Word of God is able to convert, is able to convict, it's able to cleanse. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. We saw that the Word of God is able to wash over us and take care of us and clean us up. The Word of God is able to consecrate. To consecrate. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Sanctify means to be set apart. And the more you read that Bible, I got news for you, folks. The skeptics or whatever they are on the other side will tell you, well, you're being brainwashed. You listen to that Bible, you read that Bible, you get brainwashed. Well, I like that, brainwashed. I'll simply tell you this, you watch television, you'll be brain dirtied. You read the material of this life and this world, watch the movies, you'll be brain dirtied. You'll pick up the cussing and the swearing and the immorality and all the vileness. You'll pick up that. Yes, if you listen to the Word of God, you're right. You will be brainwashed. And that will make you different from the people you work with. It'll make you different from the people you sit at the dinner table with. It'll make you different from those that you socialize with. It will set you apart. The Word of God will do that. I acknowledge that. It will do that. The Word of God will also comfort. The Bible said in Psalm chapter 1, that he will be like a, if he meditates there and tonight, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. You know what that means? It means the Word of God will bless you. It will make you flourish. It will give you comfort. There was one I didn't mention last week, and I thought about this week. The Word of God also conquers. In Matthew chapter 4, the devil took Jesus into the wilderness to tempt him. And on three different occasions, the devil tempted Jesus to do something wrong. And Jesus said in all three occasions, "It is written," and he quoted a verse from the law of Moses. So the Word of God is also able to conquer the devil. Now, if the Word of God is able to convert, to convict, to cleanse, to consecrate, to comfort, and to conquer, what do you think God wants you to do with it? You think he wants you to take it home this afternoon, set it on the coffee table, and then keep it there till next Sunday? If God gave you a book that is able to do all those things and be all those things, you think he gave it to you so you could set it home and put the birth announcements and the death announcements and you know, the first dollar bill you ever made, set that all in the pages of that and leave it as a keepsake on the coffee table? I don't think so. He said you're to meditate therein day and night. Job said, "I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." You'll feed yourself daily. You'll make sure you get fed daily. We need the Word of God. The Bible is a book. It is a collection of 66 books in one book. And I gave you this brainstorm last week. The Bible is a book, and books are designed to be read. Now that might shake your world, I don't know. The Bible is a book, and books are designed to be read. Folks, I've said this more times than I can remember. This is the greatest book in this world. Now, I'm a reader. I keep a log of all the books I read. I read 30 books last year. I like to read biographies. I like to read whodunits. I read a lot of research material for preaching and studying the Bible. I do a lot of reading. And there's not a book I've ever read that comes even close to that book right there. That book is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And God did not inspire it and preserve it and get it to you and I in 2016 for us to make it something to set on the mantelpiece, something to put on the coffee table, something to have as a family heirloom. He didn't design it for that. He gave it to us to read. And so I want to challenge you, if you're not already doing it, that in the year of 2016, you read that book every single day. And they're saying, preacher, are you putting a law on us? No. I'm just telling you that as a Christian, you will not have success. You will not flourish. You will not be prosperous. And again, I'm not talking about your bank account. I'm not talking about your position on the job. I'm talking about your Christian life, your success, your happiness, your peace. It will not be fulfilled if you neglect that book right there. Woe to us that we can take in the evening news and not take in the Word of God. Woe to us when we take in the daily newspaper and all the information in it and not take in the Word of God. Again, I'm not saying this as laying down a law. I'm saying this is if you and I want to prosper and have good success as a believer, that's what the Bible tells us we need to do. Look at Psalm 119. The book of Psalms, chapter 119. Psalm 119, verse number 105. It's a very familiar verse when we talk about the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105. Here's what the psalmist said about God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy Word, God's Word, is a lamp to our feet and a guide to our path. You know what that means? We can't walk in the right direction. We can't walk in the light unless we have the Word of God. If you're not walking in the light, what are you walking in? In the darkness. And Jesus said in John 4, if a man walks in darkness, he stumbles. And your spiritual life, your Christian life, will be a life of stumbling, of one fall after another, if we neglect the Word of God. Now I know this all sounds simple, it sounds rudimentary, but sometimes we need to go back to those simple things. We need to go back to the beginning and remind ourselves of our obligation, our responsibility, and our privilege and benefits of having the Word of God. You realize there are people in the world today that do not have in their dialect, in their language, they do not have the Word of God. And yet we sit here in the United States of America in our native tongue and we are blessed. I remember being on the mission field many years ago and handing to those church people, we got a copy of a Bible in their language that had been out of print for years. It had been done by some German missionaries that had come out there. And we got a copy of that and we sent it back to the United States. I sent it to my home church up in Michigan. They put it to a publisher. They had it published. They made copies of it. They sent boxes of Bibles out. And that day that we handed it out to our church people, you'd have think we'd have given them $1 million. For the joy that was on their face for the first time in their life. Some of them were 60, 70, 80 years old. And for the first time in their life, they had their own Bible. They had one they could take home from church on Sundays. We don't understand that kind of thing because we've got an abundance here. We need to be thankful for that which we've got. So I want to tell you this morning, I want to give you something. I've called this How to Read the Bible. You say, preacher, it's simple. Well, yes, it is. But I've also found out sometimes you have to dwell on the simple. Having shown you the need for having the Bible in your life every day, think of it this way. You go out and you eat at a fast food restaurant. And you get your calories. You get your carbohydrates. You get your sugars. You get your fats. But you don't get anything healthy. Now, I'm not going to start preaching on this right now. But let's be honest. If you try to go out to eat and eat something healthy, it's really a struggle to do that. You can eat, you can take in, and you can exist, and you can live, but it's not healthy, and eventually it catches up with us. We can live in this world as a Christian and live on everything else that's around there and not the Word of God, but we're missing that which makes us healthy. Just like that food that gives us the proteins or the vitamins or whatever it is that we need. We've got a book right here that'll give us what we need, but we read this and this and that, watch this and this and that, take in this and this and that, and we neglect the only thing as a Christian that's going to make us healthy. So how do we read the Bible? Well, number one, let me tell you this. And again, this will be very simple. Make sure you have your own Bible. You know, the Bible is the greatest possession you can have in this world. The Bible is the only thing you have in this world that you're going to have in the next world. You understand? You're not taking your car with you. You're not taking your house with you. You're not taking your bank account, your money with you. You're not taking your clothes with you. You're not taking your teeth with you. You're not taking your hair. I better stop where I'm at. Job said, naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return to it. You take nothing out. But you know what? The Bible says, Thy word, O Lord, is settled forever in heaven. When you leave this world and get to that one, your car won't be there, your house won't be there, your clothes, none of that. But you know what is going to be there? Maybe not the one you had down here, but it's going to be the same thing. Because the word of God is settled forever. It's eternal. It's everlasting. In fact, it is what's going to judge people. The books will be opened. So that is the one thing that's going to be in eternity. Wouldn't it be great to have one right now? I challenge you. Make sure you've got your own Bible. You're not going to read the Bible every day if you don't have your own. Now, if you need one and you don't have one, come and see me. As a church, we've got Bibles. We hand them out to the kids downstairs when they need them. We've got Bibles, different ones. You can talk to me, talk to Brother Kevin, Brother John. We know where they're kept and we can give you. But you need to have your own Bible. I remember when I first got saved in the military. My sergeant invited me to church. I told you the story and I got saved. I trusted Christ as my Savior, 18 years old. That was on a Sunday. On Monday at lunchtime, I worked in an office. And one of the captain, he was a deacon in the church. The captain came. He was a helicopter pilot. And he came to our office where I worked with my sergeant, who was also a deacon in that church. I didn't know all this at that time. But they came to the office at lunchtime, and I was getting ready to leave for lunch, and they said, okay. He said, you got saved yesterday? I said, yes, I did. He said, well, at lunchtime, we read the Bible. And I thought, okay. I mean, I something had happened in me that day I got saved. And if they had told me that 3 days before that, I said, what? But something had changed in my heart that day when I got saved. And I said, okay, that sounds good, but I don't have one. And that Marine captain just happened to say, well, guess what? And he handed me the first Bible I ever owned in my lifetime. And we had the big, you know, we had the big monster thing at our coffee table at home. But we didn't think about owning your own Bible. And he handed me a Bible. And from that day forward, they taught me, read this every day. Read this every day. Now, I'll be honest with you, there's days I haven't read it. I'm on my 61st time reading through the Bible from cover to cover. And in 40 years of being a Christian, that means there's lots of days I missed. But I have found out that if you're going to read the Bible, you've got to have your own Bible. You've got to have your own copy. So get one. Make sure you have one. When you come to church, bring it with you. What a I'm going to talk about some things about here about how when you read the Bible. What a blessing it is to come in with your own Bible that you've read during the week. Then the preacher gets up here and eventually he's going to preach on something you just read and you're going to say, yeah, I just read that. And look at this and look at that. It'll be great to have your own Bible. Number two, if you're going to read the Bible, have a plan. Have a plan. Nothing gets accomplished without a plan. You ever tried to diet? Ever tried to lose weight? Nothing happens without a plan. And a plan that you stick to. You ever tried to save money? It doesn't happen without a plan. It doesn't, you know, it just doesn't fall into your bank account. You've got to have a plan. If you're going to read the Word of God daily, you've got to have a plan. Now let me say this at the beginning. If you've got a plan that works and the plan I give is different, use your plan. Don't change it. If it works, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If you're reading your Bible faithfully and you're doing something that I even say don't do, but you're doing it and it works, then keep doing it. But I'm going to give you some suggestions on how to have a plan for reading your Bible. And the first thing I'd say is simply this, keep it simple. You might write the word kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. Keep it simple. It's reading. All right, there's a difference between reading and studying. When you read your Bible, don't get distracted into saying, oh, I'm going to stop here. I'm going to think about it. No, you're reading. Just keep reading. You've got to keep it simple. It's got to be systematic. There's got to be a pattern to it. You're not going to read your Bible if you say, well, let's see, what am I going to read today? I'll read this. Then the next day, I'll read. You have to have a plan. It's got to be a systematic plan. Now, you can go on the internet these days, and you can download any kind of Bible reading plan you want to find. I mean, you know, read this book, then that book, then this book, then that book, or read two chapters of this one while you're reading the first one of that. And there's all kinds of stuff. And to me, the problem with that, it's not simple. Again, I'm a simple-minded person, so to me, I read a lot. You know, every book I read, I've never started in the middle. Every book I've ever read, I've never stopped about a quarter of the way through it, read a little bit, then went three quarters of the way through it, then went back to the beginning. You know, every book I've ever read, you know where I started? At the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you're going to read your Bible, start at the beginning. I'm a firm believer that God put the books of the Bible in the order He wanted them to be in. You understand, if you've done some study, that the books of the Bible are not in a chronological order. When you get to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, those books are not in a chronological order. We studied that on Sunday evenings. But for some reason, they're in the order they're in. The five books of Moses, then the books of history, then the books of poetry, then the major prophets, then the minor prophets. They're categorized into places because God put them in a certain order. So I'm a firm believer that the best way to read them is in the order that God put them in the Bible. Now again, there are plans that say, all right, read Genesis and then go to John and then go to this. And if it works, do it. If it keeps you reading, do it. But my advice is start at Genesis and start reading through it. You understand sometimes when you start reading it, you're going to hit some rough spots. You're going to read Genesis chapter 1 and you're going to say, well, this is good. On the first day, the morning and evening were the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. Chapter 2, the seventh day, God rested. Chapter 3, you're going to read about Adam and Eve and the fall in the garden and the temptation of Satan. Chapter 4, you're going to read about Cain slaying Abel. And you're going to say, boy, I remember hearing this stuff. I know this. Then you're going to hit chapter 5. You're going to get to, I mean, you've only read four chapters. You're in the fifth chapter and all of a sudden it's, this guy lived this many years and he died. And this guy lived this many years and begat these sons and these daughters and he died. This guy begat that and he died. It's kind of like, wow, this is rough. I'm not getting much out of it. Then you get to chapter 6 and you read about God looking down, the sons of God and the daughters of men, and now it's starting to get deep. God looking down and saying the wickedness of man was always evil continually, so he comes to Noah and says, build a boat. And you get through that, you say, okay, I can handle this. Let's fast forward. Let's say you get through Genesis, you get through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and you get through that, and you get to Exodus, and you're reading about Moses. And that's good stuff. You're reading about Moses in chapter 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and you know how he leads the children of Israel out. In chapter 12, they put the blood on the doorpost. It's all getting good. Chapter 20, they get out into the wilderness, and he gets the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai. It's going good. Then chapter 25, you hit the tabernacle. And everything is, you know, made of gold and wood and gopher wood and shittim wood. And put this on this and the pomegranates and all that. And for the next, I don't know, 12, 16 chapters, it's like, what in the world is this? You know what I'd say? Just keep reading. Because it's going to do some good. I can challenge you this way if I can liken it. Most of you know, for health reasons, I've had to lose weight recently. And you know, when I first started, you're dropping a pound a day. You know, you change your eating habits and you change a pound a day. So this is good. I can handle it. I can do this. But after those first water pounds fall off, then you go 2, 3, or 4 days of starving yourself or just eating green stuff. And you do that for 3 or 4 days and you don't lose a pound. You're thinking, no, wait a minute. This is not what I signed up for. That's the same way it is with reading the Bible. If you want it to accomplish what it's going to accomplish, sometimes it's going to be rough. Getting through Chronicles, it's going to be rough. Understanding Ezekiel, a wheel in a wheel with lights around it, what? But you've got to just keep reading. Keep it simple, but keep reading. So have a plan. Use a plan that works. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. 1189. That means with 300, I've done the math, with 365 days in the year, if you want to read your Bible through in a year, you have to read through 3 1/4 chapters a day. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Don't try to read 3 1/4 chapters a day. Because that quarter will really mess you up. So try to read 4 chapters a day in the Bible. Start in Genesis. Read Genesis 1 to 4. Read Genesis 5 to 8. Read Genesis 9 to 12. You know what that does? It gets you through in the right order. Plus, it's simple that way. You're reading 4 chapters every day. Where did I stop yesterday? Well, you know it's going to be an equivalent of 4 because you're reading 4 chapters every day. Now, my Bible, when you look for a Bible, look for this. My Bible's got 2 little tabs like that. Now, I read more than what I'm telling you to read in a day, so what I do is I read in the Old Testament and the New at the same time. And so I mark the Old Testament with this. When I'm done reading in a day, I mark it. Whenever I'm at in the New Testament, I mark that with that one. And then the next day, I just open it up and I know where I left off. You say, why do you do that? Because I have to keep it simple. Because if it gets complicated, I'm out. All right? So have a plan. Have your own Bible. Have a plan. Again, I recommend reading it through, being consistent, doing it every day. Number 3, set a time. Again, I know this is elementary. Set a time. You have a time you eat breakfast. You have a time you get up in the morning. You have a time you eat lunch. You have a time you eat dinner. You have a time you go to bed. Those things that are in your life that you have to set down and be disciplined about, you make sure you do that. When your bedtime comes and you know you're going back and you know what time you got to get up the next morning, you're saying, I'm losing time. I'm losing sleep. I'm not going to be what I need to be in the morning because I've gone past my bedtime. We're disciplined that way. The only way you're going to read your Bible is if you do the same thing. Have some discipline to it. Set a time when you can read. Now, I know our lives are busy. Our lives are packed, but we will do what we want to do. We will find time to do what we deem to be important. And reading our Bible every day, if we understand how important it is, we will find a time to do it. Now, I always recommend that when you do it, make sure it's a time where you're by yourself. I got to be careful here. If I'm in the living room sitting reading, my wife's there, I'm not going to concentrate on what I'm reading because she's always got lots of questions for me. If she's trying to read and Aaron or I are up and around the house, she's not going to get her reading done because we're going to disturb her one way or another. I mean, not necessarily say anything, but just us being around doing stuff. If she's trying to read and I'm in the kitchen doing something, I'm going to be constant. Where's this? Where's that? Where do I put this? Where do I get that? You've got to have a time where you're by yourself and alone and you're solitary so you can do some reading and concentrate on what you're doing. That might mean getting up a little earlier in the morning. God forbid. Might mean staying up a little later at night when everybody else is kind of settled down. But find a time where it's peaceful and it's quiet and you can read your Bible. And if you've got a newborn, that's going to be very hard to do. Find a time to read your Bible. Find a time. Set a time. You've got to have a time. Number 4, and this is the last one. stay focused. Here's the hardest thing to do when you're reading your Bible. Stay focused. You know how I know it's hard? Because I see some of your eyes glassed over right now. It's hard to stay focused. We live in a world where it's hard to stay focused. And when you're reading your Bible, everything in the world is going to happen. Every distraction that can happen will happen when you're reading. And if you're not focused on it, it's like a... Now, I have said this before. When you go to an outside spigot and you put a bucket under it and you turn it on and the water's going in, you can stand there and watch it and concentrate on it. Or you can kind of look off this way and not pay attention and the water's still going in the bucket. And in many ways, Bible reading is just like that. There's times that I've finished a chapter and I got to the end and I was kind of, you know, either tired or my mind was drifting. I get to the end and I thought, what did I just read? You know what I do? I just stay where I'm at. I don't go back. I just stay where I'm at and I focus on what I'm reading from that point forward. One reason is I think I was, my mind, it was coming in whether I realized it or not. And it can be real discouraging if every time that happens to go back and reread, you might be there for hours. So just keep moving, but the best you can, keep focused on what you're reading. Now the best way to do that, I've found, is to have a little note paper right next to me. Because here's what, you know, the Bible, Jesus told the parable about the seed being sown. And when the seed was sown into the ground, the fowls of the air came and plucked it away. The devil is good. He doesn't care if you sow the seed. He just doesn't want it to take root. He doesn't mind if you sit there to an degree. He doesn't mind if you sit there with the Bible open and even read it as long as you're not getting anything from it. So if he can discourage you from getting anything, he's going to do that. So what happens? You're reading through your Bible and you all of a sudden think, I wonder what's for lunch. You're reading your Bible and say, you know, I wonder why my daughter hadn't called me yet. Anything you can think of will happen when you're reading the Bible. And that's just the devil trying to distract you. So you know what I do? I keep a notepad next to me because I can plan most of my day while I'm reading my Bible. Because the devil's trying to tell me all the other things I should be doing right now that I need to get done instead of doing what I'm doing, which is really the most important thing. So I keep a notepad right there, and when I start getting, oh yeah, if I don't write that down, I'll forget it. All right, I need to do this later. I'll write those things down so it doesn't take my concentration away. There are times I used to do that, set the Bible down, then go over somewhere and write this down, go back to read my Bible again, and you messed the whole thing up. Not only that, but when you're concentrated, things will mean more to you. I would recommend that you have Bible marking pens or a highlighter or something, and when you read things that mean something to you, underline that. You know, we talked about in Sunday school in Romans chapter 1, three times in that chapter where it said, God gave them up, God gave them up, God gave them over. Those things just don't jump off the page at you, but when you underline it, you see it, and you say, boy, that's something. And we talked about those three steps in Sunday school this morning when God gives up on someone. And you underline those things, and they jump out, and they mean something the next time you read through there. It happens to me all the time. There's something I outlined one time before I read my Bible, and I get to it this time, and I'm ready to be... I was just reading yesterday. I was sitting at my table. We've just taken our drop ceiling out of our house. We're trying to restore the original ceiling to it. And so all the drop ceiling is out, and now it's an ugly ceiling that's in there. Got the wires hanging down from it, and it just doesn't look that pretty. And I'm sitting there reading my Bible, and all of a sudden I started thinking about something. Something that I just read there, and so I just sat, my eyes went up to the ceiling, and all of a sudden now I'm looking at that ceiling and all the nail holes that are in it, all the screws that are up there and the wires, when am I going to do this? I got distracted. Sitting in peace and quiet in my own house, the devil started to distract my thoughts. You know what you do? You just put your eyes down, you focus on it, you keep going where you're reading, you try to get your mind back there because the devil will get it off every time he can. What a blessing it is when you get through the Bible, you read and you read and you read, and then somebody preaches on something that you've already read and it means so much more to you. You come in, and the preacher will say, all right, turn to the book of Jonah, and you go back to the book of Jonah, and he'll say something, and you look at that, and you say, wow, that's good, and you underline that right there. Next time you get to the book of Jonah and you're reading, you see that, and you remember what he said about it. I've written little notes next to it that I've heard people say things, or comments he's made. And again, this is just in reading your Bible, but it opens up so much more to us. And it opens up the Word of God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know where you get? Where are you going to get righteousness in this world? Where are you going to get pure righteousness in this world? There's only one place, and that's right there. I don't care how noble and high and lofty you think your views and your opinions are, or those of someone else are that's human. There's only one place you're going to get pure righteousness. And they that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. In 2015, the year's over. 365 days, you'll never get back again. Did you read through your Bible? Did you go from cover to cover? Did you read every word of God that He's preserved for thousands of years just so you could have it in your hand? Those words that will convert, convict, cleanse, comfort, conquer? Or did we disregard it and say, treat it like it's just not important? It really doesn't matter. Our Christian life will reflect that. Our purity and our life will reflect how much of the Word of God we've got in. I challenge you in 2016, get more Bible. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, we thank You this morning for the precious Word of God. It's from the Bible that